So I'm going to start off this morning kind of following up on all of our scripture readings in John chapter 20 and chapter 21, going with the resurrection of Jesus and his appearance to the 12. And one of the things that's the most important part of our faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to start in the book of Acts and go backwards back into where we were just at in John chapter 20 and 21, where Mason ended up reading of his appearance, of Jesus' appearance with the apostles on the beach. So let's go over to Acts chapter number 1, and we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Acts chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. See, this is what Jesus' message was. His message was to the apostles pertaining to the kingdom of God, and also at the start of his ministry, it started off with 40 days of fasting, and he was tempted by the devil to be given the kingdoms of this world. But, lo and behold, Jesus Christ will be establishing the kingdom himself when he returns again. So it's ironic that he was also, after his resurrection, he appeared to the same apostles for 40 days and culminating in his ascension into heaven and where he is today. And that's our hope today. He's in heaven. We have a heavenly hope because he's there. So these infallible proofs, and what are they? What is infallible? Infallibility? Infallibility means that these are provable, that he was seen with things that could not be spoken against him. So let's go back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, part of our text this morning, and let's go past. Let's go right to his resurrection. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she turneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I love the fact that they were laid there. It was intentional that Jesus rose again, and he purposely put the clothes back where they came from, back where they were. Unlike if a thief were to go in, they would take and just scatter everything around. If anybody's ever had a robbery take place, you know that happens. They trash the place. They wouldn't take the time to put things back in order. But Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he gave that as an infallible proof of his resurrection. The folded napkin and the clothes that he had. Now, verse number 9. Verse number 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Like, that's John himself not naming himself. He saw the evidence that was on that table, on that slab that was in the tomb. He believed right there. He had heard the promises that Jesus had talked about, how that he would die, he would be buried, and he would be resurrected. So he believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. I like the idea that we'll soon see that Jesus makes an appearance to that home. But Mary stood, all the disciples left. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Thou sayest unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they had laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. She didn't know it was Jesus because Jesus had changed. He had given up that earthly body, and he now had a new glorified body. And by the way, that's another hope that we as Christians have. We'll have a glorified body just like Jesus. We now see in the flesh, but one day we will see him as he is and will be like him. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seeketh thee? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She heard his voice calling her name, and she recognized that it was him. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken things unto her. Then the same day at evening, and this is where I want to get to, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. See, this is the same thing that was happening in Matthew 28 with the Great Commission. It's the same thing that was happening in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus was sending forth those apostles to bring forth the kingdom. And they didn't have the power to forgive sins, but they could declare people forgiven of sins by what? By faith in Jesus Christ. This is the mark of being forgiven of your sins. Today, how do we know if you're forgiven of your sins? Have you believed the gospel? Have you believed that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures? That's how you believe. That's how you know your sins are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, when you believe on Christ, your sins, past, present, and future, are no longer imputed to you. They're no longer charged to you. Oh, how I wish the things that went on our charge cards weren't charged to us, but would be charged to somebody else. This is what happens with our sins through Jesus Christ. That's what he did. If you believe that, your sins are forgiven. And the apostles could deem one forgiven of their sins by their confession of faith. And only the Lord truly knows who were saved. Now, verse number 24. Now, it starts with that three-letter word, B-U-T. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. It's interesting because 8 days later, Thomas was with them when Jesus appeared unto them again. So the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." They knew it was him. But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, we always call Thomas Doubting Thomas. But this testimony of Thomas is here for a reason. This testimony of Thomas shows indeed that Jesus Christ had indeed come in the flesh. Let's keep your finger here in John chapter 20 and go over to 1 John chapter 4. And this is, we'll explain what's happening here. 1 John chapter number 4. And you know I'm going to start with verse 1 here. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. What a great warning is here. Beloved, John, remember, that beloved disciple who remained nameless in his own gospel account, he's saying, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." See, many false Christs and false prophets come. And usually that false Christ is not one come in the flesh. You see Thomas's testimony? His testimony that unless he was able to thrust his hand in and actually see that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, Thomas was showing a great point that Jesus had come in the flesh. Hereby, verse number 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Get that? Come in the flesh. He came as a man. He died as a man. He resurrected as a glorified man with flesh that could actually be touched. He could smell, see, touch, taste, and plus he could do some amazing things like suddenly appearing in the middle of the room with the disciples. Also, when we go to John chapter 21, this flesh actually was able to provide miraculously, provide food, provide fish for the apostles. And he also was able to cook that flesh. It says, "Come and dine." That's what he says to do. This was not the work of just the spirit. So many people today trust in these things that are in their minds, and not necessarily in their minds, but they are spirits, but they're not spirits that have come in the flesh. They make a mockery of Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." So let's think of how many religions and experiences are based not on the person of Jesus Christ, not on the God-man, but on all kinds of other mystical, mysterious observations and religious things happening. Let's go to 2 John chapter number 1. 2 John. Well, there's only one chapter, so 2 John. Do I get the right one? Yes, 2 John. Let's start with verse number 1. And we're gonna go through verse 7. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." You know, and this truth is Jesus Christ. How long will he be with you? Forever. That's eternal life. That's amazing right there. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Why? Well, right here in verse number 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's some strong words, but that's exactly what it is. Because going back, Jesus Christ had to come in the flesh. He had to die as a man to pay for the sins of man. He was the very God-man. So that's the message of Easter. It wasn't just an apparition. It wasn't just a spirit. It wasn't just something that happened in somebody's mind. Jesus Christ truly did die. He was flesh. He truly did. He truly did rise again as flesh, albeit glorified. Let's go back to our text in John chapter 20. And I just want to read through some of chapter number 21 as well. John chapter 20. Yeah, do you remember which verse I said to leave your finger into? It was verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. It's important to realize this. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas. So Jesus already knew what Thomas had done 8 days before. Jesus said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. So they, remember, signs belong to the Jews. The Jews needed those signs. The Jews needed to see the physical resurrection of Jesus. They saw the empty tomb. Today, we don't seek after signs. We have the written word of God that we can trust. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. So those signs, the physical flesh, showed proof of who Jesus is. Today we have the testimony of John. We also have the testimony of Thomas. He was there. He saw that Jesus indeed had come in the flesh. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I believe that applies to everyone. In this age of grace we're in, we believe on Jesus Christ because of the testimony that's given to us in the Word of God. And many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. You know, I often think of that, of all the different things he did in his 24 hours of being with the apostles. But look at the next verse, verse number 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It's so important. I think we'll end right there this morning. Resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened as a testimony of who he was. He was truly God, truly man. And that empty tomb is unlike any other tomb ever, where the one inside of it, willingly, by his own power, stepped out of that tomb. And he showed himself through many infallible proofs that can't be spoken against even today. We have God's word on it. Eternal life comes to those who believe upon Jesus Christ. Let me read this last verse again. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, or the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Earlier on, Jesus said to Andrew and Philip, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto me. Let's go there for a second, because I just had a little brain cramp for a second. John chapter 14, it's always always good to look at. Verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So he's saying, if you've seen him, you've seen God. Jesus was God in the flesh. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. Jesus saith unto him, have I not been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest that thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall be he do also, and greater works than thee shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. What a promise that is. He was saying this before he was crucified. And the empty tomb shows that he is alive again. And those apostles would have eternal life based on that. And so do we. Eternal life based because Jesus lives. Amen. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Amen. He that hath my commandments, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Amen. We have the Bible. You know the love of God because of the scriptures and what the scriptures say. Amen. The Lord is good. He rose from the grave to show that he gives eternal life. The answer is to receive eternal life. The answer for the believer is that they grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, happy Resurrection Day. Have a joyous time. And I know we'll be meeting once again. And if not right away, I know that the trumpet could sound at any minute now. And we'll see each other in the air. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we are just so thankful for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. The bodily resurrection, where he came and had so many proofs of that resurrection. It can't be denied, even by the world that tries to deny him even today. We just pray, Father, that you would have your way with each and every person. We pray that you would protect each and every other person. We're going through all this situation with Corona and all the different things happening in the world. We just pray that we would all look to you and for what you've done at the cross. And also look at the fact of the resurrection, that we have that resurrection life as well. And Lord, we just commend each moment we have, each day we have unto you and to your grace. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. So glad you could be online with us this morning. And as we said, I can't wait to get back together again and see each other face to face. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Easter/Resurrection Day.